With us to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Joshua, chapter 5. Amen. Praise God. Joshua, chapter 5. Praise the Lord. And when you found it, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of the word this morning. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Truly thankful for everybody that's here today. We want to welcome you this morning. Let me say that my wife and I love each and every one of you. Mean that, amen, from the bottom of our hearts. Thankful, amen, that you're able to be here. Praise God, amen. But are you ready for the word of God today? Amen. I said, are you ready for the word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to read the first 9 verses today. Amen. If you don't have a Bible in your hand or have it on your device, you can look through the screen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Joshua 5:1 says this, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, and their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore, because of the children of Israel. And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make these sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way of they that came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware to their fathers, that he would give us a land that flows with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." Amen. Going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on. You may be seated, and if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought. Pull out the flint knife. Pull out the flint knife. Look at your neighbor and say, pull out the flint knife. Amen. Hallelujah. We preached last Sunday morning from Joshua chapter 6. Amen. On the thought, breaking the silence. Amen. If you weren't here, you can go back on YouTube and listen to that. Amen. Praise God. It was speaking of a ruah, which is a shout. Amen. The ruah is a shout unto the Lord. Amen. It is the shout that brought down the walls of Jericho. Amen. So we preached last Sunday morning about the ruah. Amen. But we reminded you, amen, and I want to remind you again this morning that a ruah does not come without a true revelation of God. Amen. We don't shout because we have victory, but we shout because we are God's people. Amen. And when we know we're God's people, we already know we have the victory. That's why we can shout before the victory comes. We may not know what the victory is going to look like. We may not know when the victory is going to come. It may not play out the way that we see it. Amen. But if we know who God is, and that He is the faithful God, amen, and that He always has the best interests of His people in mind, then we can shout regardless of the circumstances that are surrounding our lives. Amen. So the Ruah, amen, if you don't really have a revelation of who the Lord is, then the Ruah is just a noise. Come on. But when you know who He is, your Ruah becomes a shout, amen, that turns into a Tavruah, which lets the enemy know we know who our God is. And that's when the walls start coming down. I need somebody to give the Lord a Ruah in this tabernacle. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's not just a sound when you know you are God's people. And it's amazing the amount of people that sit in churches Sunday after Sunday, week after week, that don't have a revelation of who the Lord is. Amen. Praise God. But when we, that's where we preached last week. Amen. But I want us to go back a little bit to Joshua chapters 4 and 5. Amen. This is where I had no idea last week when I preached on Joshua 6 that the Lord was going to lead me in this direction today. Hallelujah. If I would have, I might have laid a little bit of a different foundation, but that's probably why the Lord didn't let me know that. But nonetheless, amen, praise God. I want us to go back to Joshua 4 and 5 to the events that led up to chapter 6. Amen. We again know that chapter 6 is that famous or familiar, amen, event when the walls of Jericho came down, when the people marched, amen, in silence once a day around, except for the sound of the shofar. Amen. They did that for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around, amen, 7 times. And on the seventh time, that's when they let out the Ruah. Amen. Let the enemy know that we know who God is. The victory's ours. What's on the inside of Jericho has already been given to us. You can't wall it up. You can't keep it. Amen. But it belongs to the Lord. And that's when the walls of Jericho came down. Amen. What we need to understand is that there are layers. When you look at prophetic words, when you look at prophecy in the Bible, and from Genesis to Revelation, it's prophetic. Amen. When you look at prophecy in the Bible, amen, you have to understand that there are layers in prophecy. Amen. I'm giving my age now. Some of you youngins in here may not know what I'm talking about. Amen. But you remember transparencies. Amen. Before we had, amen, all the technology. Amen. And we had the machine with the light, and we would put on the transparency. And then as you would want something, amen, else to be explained, you would lay another transparency on that, and it would reveal a little bit more. And then you would lay another transparency over that that had a little bit more information than what the first two had. And then by the time you were done with the lesson from the first transparency to the last one, you got a full picture of what you were trying to teach. That's what prophecy is in the Word of God. It is in layers. Amen. It's like those transparencies. Hallelujah. So we got to look at things. Sometimes when we look in the book of Genesis, we may not see the full picture. But as we put all the layers, as God does what He does, we continue to go through the Word, because every word is connected from the beginning to the end. Amen. Everything has a significance. So as you keep putting layers, amen, upon that, amen, you're going to get a full picture. And so that's why we got to understand, as we walk and are journey and our relationship with the Lord, it's kind of the same thing. As we grow and learn, then we put layers upon our understanding and layers upon our growth. And that's how we gain revelation. And we know that the enemy does not want you to have revelation, because once you have revelation, there's no going back to what was. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So, amen. How many of you remember in school that are old enough, amen, to remember that when they put that first transparency, there wasn't a whole lot there, but then when they would lay the other one, you would think, oh, okay, now I see. And they would lay again and say, oh, I see why that was on the first one, but it wasn't on the second one. Are you with me? Amen. That's how it is in our walk with the Lord. From faith to faith, from strength to strength, as we grow in our understanding and our knowledge of the Word and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to see, oh, now I see why God had me there. Now I see why God allowed me to go through that. Now I can see the significance of what it is, until you begin to get a fuller picture of who God is in your life. That's why when you know Him as Jehovah Rapha, hallelujah, there's not a sickness that is able, hallelujah, to have victory over you. When you know Him as Jehovah Rohi, there's no valley, there's no wilderness that you go through that you don't already know He's already there. And if He brought me through the last one, He's going to bring me through this one. That's why when you know Him as Jehovah Nissi, hallelujah, there's not a devil in hell. There's not a battle. There's not an opposition. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me this morning? That is able to take away, hallelujah, your victory. Because you know that your victory is not in what you do. It's not in the circumstances, but it's in Him. He is the banner of victory that is over me. Oh, come on. When you know Him as Jehovah Sit Canoe, you realize that when you fall and you mess up and make a mistake, that you don't have to stay down there. But because He is your righteousness, you can get back up, repent, wash yourself off, purpose to not go back, and press right on. Are you with me this morning? As the layers are added, that's why Job could say, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. Why? Because I know that my Redeemer lives. Somebody that knows it this morning, why don't you put a hand together with another one and give the Lord a shout of gratitude. Hallelujah. We know, we've talked for months and months, and the last few years, amen, we're in some strange times. We're in a time such as never been before. I'm thankful that I'm alive in this time in history, because there's going to be things happen that are not going to have time to be written about. They're going to happen so quickly that authors are not going to have time to write about it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in a time when the warfare is on the, amen, on the uptick. Hallelujah. We said it on Thursday night when we preached about keeping the altar. Amen. How you can feel it in the atmosphere. You can just feel it in the spirit. The heaviness, amen, that's there. But thank God, greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. But when you understand that there's a purpose in that feeling, that there's a purpose in what's happening in the spirit, hallelujah, you can take another step, amen, and keep right on moving. So we've got to understand, hallelujah, amen, that we are just in an interview for a promotion, amen, for a time with promotion. Can He trust us? Are we going to reciprocate what we have said we would do? Are we going to follow through when we said, Lord, whatever You want, whatever You need, hallelujah, It's just an interview for a time with promotion. It's all about, see, everything that God does. Let me remind you of that again. I know I say that a lot, but everything that God does is for the purpose of bringing you into a deeper relationship with Him. Because the deeper your relationship with Him, hallelujah, praise God, the less a mind that the enemy has to be able to pull you out. I'm not saying you won't fall. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall. Amen. But if you keep things in proper perspective, hallelujah, the probability is really low. Come on, somebody. I have no desire to walk away from the things of the Lord. I have no desire to participate in the mess that's out in the world. I have no desire, amen, to be part of this world. So, Israel was facing a time of promotion as they now stood at the Jordan River. We know the story of the Exodus. Amen. If you don't, let me put it in a nutshell. God's people, Israel, was in bondage in Egypt. They had been there for 400 and some years. Amen. They cried out for a deliverer. God sent Moses, raised him up. The Lord showed up, amen, in miraculous ways. Delivered them out from the hand of Pharaoh. Brought, amen, to the 3 million of them out. Amen. With the wealth of Egypt. The Bible says there was none of them sick. It said on their journey, their sandals didn't wear out. See, that's what I mean. When you know that God is faithful to take care of His people, you can keep on walking, even though it feels like it ain't going to bring you anywhere. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah. He brought them out. They stood at the Red Sea. Pharaoh pursued them. Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. Pharaoh changed his mind. He pursued them. They got to the Red Sea, which was, amen, a barrier. Amen. Moses stretched forth his rod. Amen. The Red Sea parted. They crossed over on dry land. The Bible says that God removed the wheels from off of the chariots of Pharaoh and his men, and they tried to get across on that same dry ground. And as soon as they got smack dab in the middle of the Red Sea, the walls of water came back down, flooded them. And the Bible said you could see the Egyptians laying on the shore. When the water receded back, you could see them laying on the banks. And he said, never again will this Pharaoh. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. God brought them out. Amen. It was there on their journey that God gave them, gave Moses the commandments. Amen. Gave him the revelation. Gave him the book of Genesis. Gave him from the beginning. And gave him all of that revelation. Amen. And he called them to be his people. That's just in a nutshell. But a lot of other stuff that happened. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because God had to get the unbelief out from among them. Sometimes that's why He leaves us where we're at. Because there's unbelief, there's sins in us that needs to be removed. And as long as we're there, come on, hallelujah. Amen. But that's a different message. Amen. But they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses died. He passed the baton to Joshua. Joshua is now in charge of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. God said, I give you the land of Canaan. It already belongs to you. It's inhabited by the, amen, all of the Ites, the Hittites, all of those Ites are in the Canaan land. Hallelujah. But I tell you, it's already yours. All you got to do is drive them out. Come on, somebody. Everything that belongs to us, amen, that belongs to God, belongs to us as His covenant people. All you got to do is drive the Ites, amen, out of it and take possession. But again, if you don't know who you are, you don't know who He is, you don't realize that you have possessions. So it's yours already. So wherever you put the sole of your foot is yours. So before you ever put your foot there, it was already given to you. All you got to do by faith is take that step. And man, you're taking it. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, just take it. Just take it. Hallelujah. I'm trying to lay a foundation. Just hang with me. So now they're at the Jordan River in chapter 4. They're facing a time of promotion. They're on an interview, if I can say it like that. And they're facing a time of promotion. They had a covenant with God. That's what God gave to Moses. Amen. When they said yes to his word, we will be your people. They had a covenant with God. Amen. Are you with me? So they had a covenant with God, but they had to completely leave behind their past.
Well, now.
See. So they already had the word, the promise. The possession already belonged to them, but they had to leave behind all the effects of their past.
Yeah.
Right? So this is just like, it's really like the second Exodus. See, the first time, they were leaving behind the bondage at the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, they were crossing over into the hope of salvation and redemption and the enemy's ability to destroy them. And they were going into a promised land.
All right.
So at the Red Sea, they were leaving behind all of the effects of Egypt. Crossing over and leaving behind Egypt, amen, and crossing over into redemption, into the hope of salvation. Salvation is deliverance. God had delivered them. Amen. They weren't delivered yet. They were out of Egypt, but they weren't where they needed to be. Are you with me? So that Red Sea. So they were crossing over into the hope of salvation and the enemy's ability to destroy them. See, when we get saved, hallelujah, we come out of our bondage. Are you with me? We come out of our sin. But you see, this time, as they're standing at the Jordan, they're now leaving behind all the effects of Egypt to possess the promised land. At the Red Sea, they were going into the promised land, and they had to leave behind, amen, Egypt and all that the enemy could not destroy them any longer, and they were going into the promised land. But now, as they stand at the Jordan, amen, they're leaving behind all the effects of Egypt. See, there's a lot of people saved, but they have not, amen, left the effects of their sin. Come on, some folks out of Egypt, but Egypt's not out of them. You know, come on. Hallelujah. So this time they were at the Jordan leaving the effects in order to possess the promised land. They were going to take actual possession of the covenant promises. Are you with me? Amen. They were leaving behind the sands of Egypt. They were leaving behind that wilderness. Amen. They were leaving, praise God, behind the sands. And now they were crossing into the sands of the Jordan and crossing over into, amen, the sands of the Canaan land. Amen. The Bible tells us that they created a memorial in the midst of the Jordan for the coming generation. Hallelujah. Listen to me. This generation that's coming up behind us, they need to see us more than saved. They need to see us delivered free, walking free indeed. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? It's more than an hour. I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We better know when we lay our head on the pillow that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We better know when we lay our head at night that everything within us has the assurance that if we do not wait to see the new day, that we will be in eternity with the Lord. And you say, I don't have that assurance. Well, guess what? You can have that today. You can have that assurance. I want you to know, look at me. I was once, the old song says, I was once in Egypt's bondage, but deliverance came to me. Now I'm living in the land of Canaan, for the Son hath made me free. And I didn't get that freedom just when I got saved. I had to begin to walk in it, work in it, do purpose it. Amen. Be intentional about my purpose and about staying in the covenant of the And they were leaving behind the sands of Egypt. They were going from accepting God's word to actually believing it.
Come on.
That's the difference in a person who is saved and a person who knows who they are because they're saved. That's the difference in a person knowing who God is, and it's another, and a person believing that the God that they know exists is for them. Come on. Stay with me. Look at your neighbor and just say, stay with me. See, so they were going from accepting God's word because they said yes on the other side of the Red Sea, but something happened in between the Red Sea and the Jordan. They went from accepting God's word to actually believing it. We can kind of look at the Jordan as they were being baptized in the water of God's word. Just as like they were literally being baptized in the water of God's word. What's the water of God's word? It's the power of God's word to cleanse you and to do what the word says it can do. Amen. When you, amen, are washed in the water of the word, hallelujah, it not only cleanses you from your sin, amen, but praise God, it brings you into alignment. Hallelujah. It's the power to be able to work in your life.
Yeah.
See, God wants to do it for you.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to do it in you. Touch your neighbor and say, he wants to do it for you. He wants to do it. Stay with me. You say, you're leaving behind the sands of Egypt. What were the sands of Egypt? Simply, amen, nothing complicated. Hallelujah. But everything, something that all of us in here deal with. The sands of Egypt was pride and ego. They had to leave behind the pride and the ego from Egypt. So when they crossed the Jordan, that was them saying that we're laying aside our pride and our ego in order to go into what God has promised us. So we can say now this is a second coming into the promise. And are you seeing the layers? When they came out of Egypt the first time, they got to the Red Sea, amen, they crossed over. Some things happened. But some other stuff needed to happen now as they were sending out the Jordan. And so now we're getting the next layer.
All right.
Oh, come on. Don't even get me started on what Joshua, what the English translation, amen, of Joshua is. It's the Hebrew word Yahushua. Amen. Or Yeshua. Come on, somebody. Now you see in the layers. Moses brought them out of Egypt. Joshua was going to take them over into the promise. But there was another layer that was going to come. Hallelujah. His name was Jesus. And when that layer come on, hallelujah, he was going to deliver, amen, and cleanse from sin and unrighteousness. Are you catching what I'm trying to convey this morning? I'm still just laying the foundation. So this was like a second coming. Now it's another layer of their deliverance, another layer of their coming into the promised land. The Bible tells us that the Jordan, at that time, the Jordan waters were at flood stage due to the spring rains. It was a spring season. And the waters of the Jordan were at flood stage because of the rain. See, the Red Sea was parted first before crossing the first time. Right? God told Moses, stretch forth your rod. Stand still, see my salvation, stretch forth your rod.
Right.
The waters parted, then they crossed over. Right? So the first time, the waters were parted before they crossed. This time, the priests had the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant with them, and by faith, they put their foot in the edge of that flooded Jordan. By faith, see, the water. Now is the priest of the air. Oh, somebody help me. The Bible says from the tips of their toes got to the edge of that flooded Jordan that the waters begin to part. Are you seeing the difference? Now that's a whole new layer. We shout and shimmy and get all excited and sha-na-na. And as Brother Dave McHale said, huck and buck, amen, over the deliverance at the Red Sea. But when you put the other layer on it, hallelujah, there was some unbelief that got moved out of the picture. And now God, hallelujah, has got some leaders, amen, that say we got to go in with the presence of the Lord. He is with us. Hallelujah. And we, by faith, are going to go through this water. So they stepped up by faith. And when the tip of their foot got in that water, it parted. And enabled the people to begin crossing over. That's when they made a memorial with 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan. Somebody said, why? The Bible says at the time that this word was written, that those stones were still in the Jordan.
Wow.
Lord have mercy. Jesus came after that and made some footprints in that same Jordan River. My God, somebody help me. When he come walking in, hallelujah, and John the Baptist said, here comes, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Remember the memorial when Joshua and the priests put it in the middle of the Jordan. I've often wondered, were the stones still there when Jesus crossed over? And when he did he walk on them and declare, hallelujah, I've come to fulfill. I've come to bring the final layer. I've come to make the picture clear that whosoever will, let him come and drink of this water, and he shall never thirst again. I said, why do they put 12 stones in the middle? Listen, the waters might have been at flood stage, but there was a time when the waters of the Jordan would recede.
Right.
And when those waters would recede, they would see those 12 stones. And they would be reminded of the faithfulness of our God. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Let the flood rage, though I go through the waters, they shout. Overtake me, because you've already been, though I go through the fire, it shall not burn me. I won't even smell like smoke. The wilderness would be no more. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now they were on the banks of the Jordan. And the Bible says that it caused the Canaanite kings to get afraid.
Yeah.
So their hearts melted. That literally means every bit of strength that they had was gone.
Yeah.
That when they saw about 2 million Israelites, you can picture it.
Yeah.
On the banks of the Jordan. And they saw that the waters were parted. They knew the waters were flooded. And they're like, how'd they get over there? How'd they get over there? We know that the two spies that went in to Jericho, Rahab spilled the beans. She said, you got our leaders in so afraid. That's all everybody's talking about. It's that God, it's your God, the God of Israel, has parted the waters. He did it at the Red Sea. We've heard how he did it at the Red Sea. Now he's done it at the Jordan. We're afraid. They got this city locked up tight. Amen. We preached about that last week. You got them afraid. I wonder how many of us has the enemy at bay. I wonder how many of us who really have a revelation of who God is has got the enemy, hallelujah, worried. What? How did they make it through that? How did they get over that? The world, are they still standing? How, after all of that devastation, that pain, that grief, that persecution, how in the world are they
still showing up to do the tabernacle and lifting their hands and giving the Lord praise. How in the world are they still getting up and acting like everything is all right? Because, hallelujah, they know who God is and they know who they are. Our world is having a universal identity crisis. I won't even go there today. Now that we're on the banks of Jordan, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. I'm trying to get through this quickly and efficiently. But I ain't gonna rush. The first covenant was in the wilderness. But you see, the first generation missed it. See, we know by faith we are saved. That's why you got to act like, I told you probably 1,000 times in all the years I've been pastoring, praise God, there's days that I get up and I don't feel redeemed. And there's circumstances and things that hit me in the face. And amen, before I get to my prayer calls and before I find a secret place, I can feel Jeff rising up. Am I going to say, boy, you are saved. You are redeemed. That's not going to work. Come on, somebody, do you understand that? Because when you recognize and you know who God is, you also recognize who the arch enemy is. Come on, somebody, do you understand? And if what's being said to you is contrary any form to what's been written in this word, then it's the devil. It's the devil. Plain and simple. It's the Satan. Don't listen to it. Don't entertain it. Don't even let it show up on your face. He can't read your mind, but he can read your face. In the name of Jesus. I had a carnal thought. Lord help me.
Come on, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, keep it moving.
Not because you, because the Holy Ghost. Ooh, Lord.
Yeah.
Did you master that? Something you well in there. You probably might remember. The first generation listened. See, by faith, were saved. They were given the word. They were given the covenant. He said, if you will be my people, I will be your God. And I put that in biblical terms. If you obey what I'm saying, I'm laying out the boundaries. If you stay within these boundaries, you're going to have health, wealth, prosperity, hope, peace, joy. And I will show up unequivocally on your behalf. But see, that first generation, they believed that the giants were bigger than the God they saw in Egypt. Because when they went to spy out the Canaan land, 10 of them came back, representing the 10 tribes of Israel later. But 10 of them came back and said, ah, boys, it is a land. It's got all that we say. It's got milk and honey. It's abundance. Man, you should see the bundle, the stalks of grapes. The grapes are huge. Man, they're as big as your fist. Those grapes, and they're milk and honey. It's not like homogenized milk and honey. Milk and honey is a symbolism that is in abundance. Amen. That everything that you need is there. That's all taken. Said, yeah, but there's giants in the land. But there were two. Spies, Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah, see.
So, but hold up. God doesn't say that it's ours. So why do we want to worry about giants in the land? They said, oh, but we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We look just like grasshoppers. Joshua and Caleb. So why are we even having this conversation? Why are we even having this board meeting? Why are we even gathered all the elders together, all the councilmen together? Why are we even called a church board meeting? Praise God. Didn't God already say?
Come on now.
Come on. Why are you having breakfast with hell when God has already given you your... come on, somebody help me. Why are you
sharing your bagel, amen, with that demon of depression and that demon of fear. Why are you even spending time in the day? Redeem the time when God has already spoken and told you, amen, that everything will be all right. Come on, I get it. We all get there. I get it. They had saw the hand of God in Egypt. Mm-hmm. All the miracles with the plagues and how God brought them out. Mm-hmm. How on that night of their Passover, oh, hallelujah, when it was dark everywhere except in the houses where the blood was. Come on, are you with me? They forgot. So they now had to walk and wander in the wilderness 40 years until all of those doubters died off. Until all of the unbelief was gone, because God said, well, that's it, you done it. You'll not see the promised land. You'll not see it. I've promised it to you, and I've given it to you, but you're not going to see it because of your unbelief. Well, I just don't know if I'm even really saved. Come on. The enemy does this, right? By faith, you are saved. They believe that the giants were bigger than the God that they saw. See, listen. It wasn't just letters and stone that they got in the wilderness that God gave to Moses. It's not just letters and stone. But when you add faith, or can I say it like this, when you add the Spirit to it, then you don't stay in the wilderness. That's why they stayed in the wilderness. Because they saw it as just letters and stone, and they didn't add faith to it. Or the Spirit behind the covenant. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So now, this is the second time. Now, this is the second Exodus. The second coming into the promised land. And now we're looking at a second covenant. We're getting another layer.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm still laying a foundation. Hold on, we're going to get there. Because there was an entire generation uncircumcised. There was an entire generation that had been birthed in the wilderness after all of these unbelievers. And the Bible says even the warriors died. An entire generation was uncircumcised. So Joshua gave them flint knives. If you read the Hebrew translation there, I don't know what verse it is when he said verses 2 and 3. If you want to pull that up for me. And at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make these sharp knives. That's translated in the Hebrew as flint knives.
Yeah.
He said, make flint knives. Circumcise them again, a second time. He gave them flint knives. So Joshua gave them sharp instruments. Are you with me? To bring them into covenant. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder. Everything, even to the bones and the joints and the marrow. Are you with me? So these flint knives are kind of like the word of God. We got Joshua now, you know, the other layer is going to come. And Joshua is going to be, Jesus is going to be Joshua, and he's going to be bringing what? The Word of God.
Are you getting the layers? Are you seeing this? And so circumcision is Brit Milah in the Hebrew. We know that it's Brit Milah. Amen. It literally means to circumcise. Amen. Why? There is life in the blood. Right? And the Bible tells us that there's no forgiveness of sins with what? Without the shedding of blood. This is why they have the animal sacrifices. Amen? Hallelujah. But I got to thinking about this. Amen? The life in the blood, that is the source of the covenant, right? That is the very life in the covenant of God, which is the blood of Jesus. When air hits blood, it changes. It becomes different. It will eventually cluck, but it never loses its DNA. It'll change colors, and it will change, amen, when air hits it. But I got to thinking about, amen, the difference in that first generation and that second generation. Both of them had the word. Both of them had the promise of God. But one of them did not put faith in the promise. The other put faith in the promise. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. And so when the blood of Jesus, amen, is exposed to the Spirit or the Ruach, guess what happens? It becomes life-changing. Amen. So you cannot have the Word without the Spirit. Amen. You've got to put your faith in the Word of God. And then when you get the Spirit and the truth now together, now you have, hallelujah, what God said was going to bring you into a proper relationship with Him. Remember when Jesus stood at the woman with the woman, hallelujah, amen, the Samaritans, hallelujah, and she said, oh, but we worship, amen, here, and your people worship, amen, in the temple, but we worship in the mountain. Jesus said, there's coming a time when neither one of those are going to get you access to God, but there's going to come a time when those that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody help me in this place. Hallelujah. So when the Spirit and the blood of Jesus, amen, connect together, hallelujah, you're going to get a flint knife. You're going to get something so sharp and something so able to cut away everything that stands in the way between you and the knowledge of God. He didn't say worship in the truth, then the Spirit. He said they must worship in spirit and truth. So the Spirit, then truth. Can I tell you, our relationship with God is first, then His Word. There's a lot of folk know His Word, but they don't have a relationship. There's a lot of people spouting it, writing it, sharing it, speaking it, saying it in this culture that we're living, but they do not have a relationship with Him. So they are not, are you with me? They are not in covenant. The commandments are secondary. Oh, help me, Jesus. Here's the thing. That generation was being raised up to displace the other generation who kept the law, but do it by faith. Are you with me? That first generation kept the law, but they didn't do it by faith. And that generation now was being raised up to displace. See, I've said it for a while, but there's a lot of exposure taking place in the body of Christ. Amen? But there's a generation rising up to displace those who have not lived and walked according to the truth and the Word. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And there's going to be a displacement. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what's happening. Amen. I believe it's happening today. Hallelujah. And so, amen, when you understand was happening here in the second covenant, in the second crossing over, in the second coming into the promised land. They had to cut away the foreskin. Pleasant. That's why I couldn't make a song, worship team. In case you didn't catch that. What is the foreskin? Spiritually speaking. Ego.
Yeah.
Your way. Self-promotion. Of us, Jesus.
Yes.
Anything of the flesh.
Yes.
That's the foreskin. And they had to. And listen, Joshua made sure that those flint knives were sharp enough to do it the first time. Can I get a witness? Can I tell you, there is so much self-promotion in this culture and in this generation, especially in the body of Christ. Help us, Jesus. There is so much self-promotion. Can I remind you that the fruit of the Spirit should be the only thing being promoted? Not your gift, not your ability, not your style, not your statistics, not you, your peeps, and not your following, but the fruit of the Spirit. And if the fruit of the Spirit is not being self-promoted, then I'm afraid that the flesh is first. Come on, somebody. We got to stop trying to win arguments, be right, and convince everybody else they're wrong. I'm going to say it again. We got to stop trying to win arguments. Stop trying to convince everybody else that they're wrong and we're right. Are you with me? Amen? We gotta get rid of the need to be right. Husbands and wives, put away your beating sticks. Quit trying to be right all the time. Quit trying to up the other one and win the argument and trying to convince the other one that you're right and they're wrong. Help us, Jesus. Amen. Are you with me? People on Facebook fussing, fighting, debating, causing debacles, trying to argue, acting like Lucifer has reincarnated, spewing out names and using adjectives and words that should not even be in the mind of a believer, let alone coming out of their mouth and then declaring that the favor of the Lord is upon their life. Taking their selfies with all of their uppity. Amen. Those who are on billboards, come on, somebody, help me. Give me Jesus. That's all that I need. If he wants me to have anything else, then so be it. God, help me. Try to get away from there. Circumcision is of the heart now. That's where the cutting away. Can I tell you that we're not circumcised in order to be saved?
Right.
But we're circumcised because we're saved.
Yeah.
Come on, a few months ago we were teaching, amen, we had Bible study, we were talking about what Paul was having to deal with, amen, with the people, amen, hallelujah. Praise God. He's like, come on now. Because, you know, you have this group that said, you know what, you can just do whatever you want. You have this group that says, if you don't follow the law of the Jews, then you cannot. They wouldn't have a problem with people getting saved. They didn't have a problem with Jews converting. Amen. They believed in Messiah, but they said, this is how it's going to happen. You got to do this, and this, or you are not saved. Paul's like, you all are fussing over stupid stuff, but there is no gray in between. That does not save you. But you become circumcised if you want to. Now, we're talking about them physically, but you understand you become circumcised because you're saved. You got to understand that history tells us that they had a circumcision party. I don't mean like celebrating party, but like our political parties. It was a religious party. They were called the circumcision party. They were saying that if you're not circumcised, you're not saved. So they were going around trying to get all of these men circumcised. They got a notch on their belt for every person that they got to be circumcised to be saved. Lord, help me, Jesus. Let's bring that in 2024. They literally got a notch in their belt. So the more notches that they had, right? Come on. Pride and ego. They were saying that circumcision was salvation. Can I tell you, that's what the law was saying. The law does not save you. See, now we got to circumcise our mind, our will, and our emotions. We've got to intentionally put aside the flesh. We've got to intentionally say, nope, this is not in accordance to the Word of God. This is my flesh, and I have got to set it aside. You have to circumcise that pride and that ego. It's intentional. I tell people that all the time. Yeah. Certainly, like, how do you do it? It's called it on purpose. Yeah. It's intentional. Mm-hmm. I intentionally do these things. The law does not save you. The law is secondary to the Lord and your relationship with the Lord. So we got to circumcise our mind, our will, and our emotions, and do this in days and hard.
You don't know.
Especially on the road. Y'all know my struggle. These people on the road. We gotta circumcise that. Can I tell you that we all need moments of victory or breakthrough, no matter where we are in our walk with God? Right now, there is a moment in your walk with God that you are in need of a victory or a breakthrough, no matter what size it is. That's why every breakthrough is not the miracle. Breakthrough is the next step you take in obedience. Yeah. That's breakthrough. Right. Every first step is the next step. Come on, hallelujah. Are you with me? Every first step is a breakthrough. Every first step is saying, I'm going on with Jesus, yeah, just the same. I'm moving through. Are you with me? I'm pursuing after God. So we're all in need of a breakthrough or a victory. Amen. In some moment. Hallelujah. They were about to have a moment of breakthrough to begin possessing the land. They were about to have a moment of breakthrough. Now, remember Egypt. Egypt is bondage. It's the struggle. It's the addiction. It's being held by sin. It's being captive. Nothing you can do about it. But the going over the Jordan was the second leaving of Egypt for good. Because now they're cutting away the pride and the ego and all of the things that were residue of Egypt, the sands of Egypt. The Bible says that they were circumcised and they stayed until they were healed.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, let me preach that. They were circumcised. They cut away the pride. They cut away all of the flesh, everything that we talk about, everything that hinders and gets in the way of that right relationship with the Lord. They cut it away and they stay there until they were healed. That's what's wrong with some people.
Come on.
They cut away some stuff, but they haven't let themselves heal before trying to possess. Come on. They stayed until they were healed. Now I'm getting into the back end. And I said, praise the Lord. Pull up verse 9 for me again, please. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal until this day. He said, I've rolled away the stigma of Egypt. I've rolled away all of the resemblance of Egypt, all of the shame of Egypt. See, there's a lot of, there's some folks sitting here this morning. You've come out of Egypt. You've even crossing the Jordan by faith. But you gotta pull out the flint knife. Because you sit here while we worship and you still feel the shame and the stigma of your past. And it prevents you from fully surrendering everything unto the Lord. And if you cannot fully surrender, then He can't fully reciprocate that.
Yeah.
And so then you're sitting with a partial revelation of who the Lord is.
Yeah.
You're sitting with just a resemblance. But He said, this day, I have rolled away. Gone is the mark of disgrace. I know that people will bring it and put it on you. But you gotta circumcise that pride and that need to be right. And that ego that says, I'm not gonna let them talk about me like that. And then you gotta cut that stuff away. See? Can I tell you that there can't be a rolling away without death?
Yeah.
There has to be a death before there can be a rolling away. You can't roll away the stone and resurrect unless there's death. Are you hearing me? He said, I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. So what caused Egypt, the reproach, the shame, amen, the guilt, what caused the disgrace of Egypt to be removed or to die? Amen, praise God, it was there. Willingness to circumcise. They were making covenant again with the Lord. See, I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm trying to finish this morning. But you got to stop trying to do everything right to please God. You got to stop trying to please God by just doing everything right. Can I tell you, all He asks of you is to be before Him and be willing to live a holy life. Love Him in a greater way instead of trying to please Him by fulfilling the laws. You're trying to please Him with all that you're doing. And you just got to loving a little greater. See, all God's asking for you to do is to sin in His presence. Why do you think He sent Jesus? So that He can bring us back into His presence. And all He wants. See, that's when we feed our spirit. Reading the Word is good. It's essential. Fasting is good and it's essential. But when we are in His presence, that's when we feed our spirit. Being in His presence. See, He's looking for your presence. Moms, dads, and I'll say dads because He's our Father. Your kids just want your presence. When they get in your presence, and you're this, well, then all they're wanting you to do is be present. Because that's when you feed. That's when their spirit is fed. That you're their Father, their protector. We preached on Thursday night about keeping the altars and the distractions. We got to get rid of these distractions. We got to get rid of these things that the enemy's trying to cause us to keep us out of our secret place. Amen? Yeah. To keep us out of these things. Amen? All God wants is your presence. He's looking for, and the enemy wants you to be distracted so that He can keep you out of God's presence. That's what He wants. And there's so much going on. I won't reiterate the message on Thursday night. You can find that on YouTube as well. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we've got to sin. That's the only way you're going to drown out the noise. Is to get in His presence. So you got to pull out the flint knife and cut the flesh. What's the flint knife? You got to pull out that flint knife and cut the flesh. Remember, it's spirit and truth. Spirit, then truth. See, the spirit without no law is lawlessness. It's the wrong spirit. Spirit without the word. So I'm not saying that this word is not essential. I'm telling you it comes second to your relationship with the Lord. Are you with me? Because this does not save you. Doing this, following these sets and these examples and these rules, if I can say it like that, this law does not earn you favor with Jesus. He came and He ratified that and fulfilled all of that. But can I tell you that the truth without the Spirit is bondage? So the Spirit with no law is lawlessness, but the truth without Spirit is bondage. Help us do that. There's a lot of folks who's got this, but they have not the Spirit of the Lord. Because it's when the blood of Jesus gets exposed to the Ruach of God, now you've got something that's going to make a difference. He said, He called the place, I'm sorry, go back. Again, I think it's the last verse, or verse 9. Yes. This day I wrote with the request from Egypt, wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. The word Gilgal means rolling. It comes from the root word for wheel. It means rolling. He said, I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. See, the first time that they did it, it was without faith or without the Spirit. The second time, it involved faith. So now by faith, they were circumcised and they went into covenant with the Lord and they began to go in and take possession. So the first time was without faith, or if I can say it like this, without the Spirit. The second time, it created momentum. Okay. And then it just kept rolling and rolling and rolling. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So they didn't have to do it over and over and over again. You know, like some of you are trying to earn. Come on, I'm talking to some people this morning. You're trying to please God by doing everything right. If you don't, the enemy. But you see, when they circumcised and got rid of that pride and that ego and all of what was left of the effects of Egypt, the Bible says that God rolled that reproach from off of them. Everything that was left of them of Egypt died. And he called that place Gilgal, the place of the rolling. So when you do it by faith, and you have the Spirit and the truth, you don't have to worry about it working the next time, because you now have created that momentum, if I can say it like that. So they're their second time now creating momentum that it was going to keep going and keep going and keep going. That place of the rolling. Rolling away, Jesus took away that may stay. We already said they stayed until they healed, and it was there that they celebrated the first Passover in the Promised Land. And I love this because the Bible says that the old manna ceased, and for the first time. They ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan. Yeah. For the rest of the year, the Bible says, the old manna ceased. See, we're about to move into Rosh Hashanah here in just a couple of weeks. The first weekend of October. Is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, the head of the new year on God's calendar. God is going, is resetting. See, it's that new season.
Yeah.
It's that new year to pull out the flint knife and begin to cut away. Remove all of the things. See, that's what they had to do. This is why they could shout and bring down the walls of Jericho. Because they, by faith, they made covenant with God this time by faith with the Spirit and the truth. And that sacrifice of praise now was next. And we said it last week. That Ruach comes out of a revelation of who God is. And in order for them to bring down the walls, they had to experience that breakthrough before they could move into and take possession. I was thinking about that old manna. They'll come to the music. Manna in the Hebrew means what is it? They never did really know what it was. They just knew that it was what they needed. So that old what is it? You know, it was like, okay, God, whatever you want to do, just do it. I don't know what I'm believing for, but just do it, God. Whatever. I don't know what it is that's happening. But they got rid of that now. And they began to eat of the fruit of the land. Knowing that this is what God wanted for them. Knowing that this was theirs and it belonged to them. And they didn't have to just only have enough. Or say, okay, God, whatever, but they could believe and put faith on the actual faithful promises of God. So God's challenging us
as we're coming into the fall season. But we're coming into the time of the fall feast on God's calendar. And He's renewing. And He's doing. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. God, I believe there's some stuff on the horizon. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. But I can sense it in the Spirit. There's some stuff coming on the horizon. But God has never failed His people. And if we will pull out the flint knife and we'll begin to cut away the flesh, circumcise our hearts, and bring ourselves to that moment of breakthrough, we'll begin to possess the promises of God in ways we can't buy it, to each his own. But so in your $17.44 seed based on Jeremiah 17:44, probably ain't going to bring you much. But when you cut away your flesh and you sow because of the word and the truth, then God will bring you. God will bring you into possession of His promises. Stand with me across this place. Look at your neighbor and say, pull out the flint knife. Pull out the flint knife. We said it on Thursday. The enemy knows the power of distraction, but he also knows the power of attraction. He knows the power that distraction has to keep you out of the secret place of God, but he also knows that the altar and prayer and time in the secret place attracts the fire of God. And he knows if you get in the presence of the Lord, it's going to attract heaven. Doing all of these things to distract you and to pull you back. But I say we intentionally begin to cut away the pride and the ego and all of these things. Anything that hinders. So as they begin to worship, you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to make one of the most important decisions you've ever made in your life, and that's to say yes to Jesus. Today's your day of salvation. It's today. So how do you know that? Because you're here. You're here. So if you're here today, you're lost. Jesus is not your Lord and Savior. You're backslidden. Maybe you've become lukewarm. I want to give you the opportunity right now to come. I'm asking you to come. This altar remains open if you're here today. And this message pricked your heart at all. You want us to pray with you that God will strengthen you. I felt His strength this morning as we were worshiping. Some of you come in here with the notion you didn't know whether you're going to be able to stand, hold fast, and hold on. But I felt the strengthening power of the Lord. But you got to do it by faith. It's got to be intentional. And you got to cut away everything that hinders, everything that gets in the way. So you say, if you want us to pray with me, you say, I'm ready to pull out the flint knife. I'm going to take take God's word and I want to begin to cut away. I want you to come. We're going to pray with you as they begin to worship. Come on, quickly, quickly. Quickly this morning. Amen. Quickly this morning. Don't hesitate.